Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Thank you guys for being with us today. I got a lot of articles for you. Ted is still trying to get logged in here. He's had a little bit of a holdup with some of the service that they have up there in North Carolina, which is nothing new. So we'll get it rolling here, and they'll log him in eventually. But other than that, I got a lot of different stories to touch base on today. The first one that I thought was pretty interesting here is out of South Carolina, actually, where a woman was arrested for essentially refusing to keep a smart meter on her house. I want to do a little bit more research on this, and I found out the woman, Miss Mancini, M-A-N-C-I-N-I, was arrested by the sheriff and jailed after she had a smart meter on her home changed to an analog meter due to health issues from the radiation. The arrest warrant for Elizabeth Mike Michelle Mancini states that Palmetto Electric Cooperative, Inc. did not approve the meter. She went on to say that Palmetto did not and could not refute my affidavit of claims relating to their having put an unsafe and invasive meter on my home. I did not violate any law because I was simply acting in self-defense against an unsafe and unlawful meter. Utilities have been able to read analog meters for over 70 years. A third grader can do it. Ms. Mancini began requesting Palmetto to remove her smart meter all the way back in 2015 to protect her health and her Fourth Amendment right to privacy in her home. Ms. Mancini described going through an administrative process, serving the CEO of the power company with a notice and demand, and eventually a subsequent notice of default prior to installing a safe, hardwired analog meter. She then returned the smart meter undamaged next day air to the CEO of Palmetto Inc. and included photos of all readings for the meter reading purposes and to show she was not attempting to defraud the company. Well, that did not matter. The electric company filed suit against her, had a warrant issued for her arrest eventually, and the sheriff's department came to her house and arrested her. She's still fighting with them on this now. And the aspect of what we're seeing, and it's just, you know, it's getting more and more invasive. The fact that you don't even own your house, you don't even have rights to your house. The fact that they have the ability to come in now and say, you can't live off the grid in the state of Florida. If you go buy property and you put a cabin and you decide you want to put solar electricity and generator power electricity via diesel engine or whatnot, and you decide to live out there, we'll basically go in eventually if you don't comply, capitulate, and we'll notice that your house, we'll send you a notice that your house is not livable, and we'll basically finalize to have a demolition and you thrown out of it and arrested. This is what they have done in Florida now, and this is the thing that they do over and over and over again. They take small little steps, and a lot of times what they do is too, is they'll implement new laws, new bills, and then they'll add in these unbelievably ridiculous amendments. And I was getting back to what we were talking about yesterday, and this is why I went into such detail, and I don't want to go crazy on it today, but you guys need to make sure if you're in Florida or you got family in Florida, you are absolutely notifying all your representatives to oppose SB 7026. The issue that we've seen with this bill already is that not only are a lot of the things in it not even what we originally had talked about or even what Governor Rick Scott had discussed, they've added in numerous amendments even after stuff had been dropped out of it and not approved and voted no. They go and add the amendment back into the bill and try to resubmit it. These are some very slimy characters. They're trying to completely undermine the Second Amendment and the constitutional rights of Floridians. Think about this for a second. California is the largest state per populace, the highest population in the country. Texas is number two. Florida is number three. California right now is already an absolute anti-Second Amendment state. They have completely stripped California residents of the Bill of Rights. There's no question about that now. Texas is getting bombarded now with Democrats as far as that are being voted on. I looked at the elections this week, and I mean, it's insane. They're trying to put all Democrats in the Senate, all different representatives that are Democrats in Texas. Florida, we've already had that numerous times now. Now they're trying to put some of the most invasive gun laws we've ever seen even submitted in the state of Florida, but they're doing it under the guise of the voluntary armed teacher protection aspect of it. So they're trying to come out with this bill and say, well, this is what you wanted. You wanted to have armed teachers in the school. You wanted to have your students protected. You wanted to have all this. And then they refused to discuss the other points that have been added in with these amendments, prohibiting any firearm purchase under the age of 21, adding 3-day waiting periods on any firearm, making it illegal to possess basically a bump stop, the Baker Act cases of it as far as confiscating weapons under any circumstances if there's some type of Baker Act incident. This is not good, and this is something that really bothers me on how many Republican representatives and senators in the state of Florida voted for the over 21 aspect of it as far as not being able to purchase a firearm unless you're over the age of 21. That's not cool. That's not good at all, because this is what I was talking about yesterday. Where is the line going to be drawn with this? How do we know they're not going to come in another couple of years and say, well, guess what, guys, this isn't working very well. The population of Florida is getting too high. We don't really need these type of guns here. People in this state don't even need to be owning guns. This is a retirement state. This is a vacation state. We don't need these weapons here. You need to be 25 if you want to purchase a firearm legally. And there's a lot of people I brought that up to, and they go, oh, they can never do that. I never thought they can make it illegal to own a firearm under the age of 21 or purchase a firearm under the age of 21, but they're about to do so. I never thought they can make it illegal to possess furniture for a rifle. And the aspect of it, too, that I also read yesterday is when they were discussing the bump fire stocks, they also added in a little excerpt in there that nobody's bringing up on the fact of banning any aspect that can increase the cyclical rate of a firearm, which this is loaded for interpretation, meaning what happens if they start saying, well, that two-stage trigger or that 2.5-pound trigger that you have in your rifle or that custom competition trigger in your 1911 is basically too edgy. You can rapid fire that gun too fast, and it's too close to simulating automatic fire, so we're banning that. Now we're going to ban any type of trigger systems that aren't basically standard size or standard weight. That's what's going on with this, man. There's no reason whatsoever we should have any of these laws going into effect that completely compromise our Bill of Rights, just like you shouldn't be forced to have a smart meter on your house, and when you go through the proper legal channels of having it removed, you basically have a warrant issued for your arrest, and you're drug out of your home in handcuffs and arrested because you decided you didn't want to have an unconstitutional, extremely dangerous and invasive smart meter on your house, and you did it all correctly. This boggles my mind that this lady had this happen in South Carolina, but it's going to start happening more and more and more until all of us have had enough of it, and we either start standing up like she did. I got to give this lady credit, man. I mean, got to give her props. She stood up for this. She went and did everything the correct way. Still didn't matter. They still arrested her. She's still going to be fighting with it. But see, if she does it, and her neighbor does it, and another neighbor does it, and 20 other people in her neighborhood does it, and another 100 people do it in the city, and another 500 people do it in the county, and do exactly what she does, they're going to have to start addressing this, and they're not going to have the manpower or the police power to go in and start hauling people out because of smart meter removals. They can't do it. So we all have to stick with one another and have each other's back when situations like this arise. Now, also, too, in other news that I thought was rather creepy as well now, the University of Alabama at Birmingham is in collaboration now with Merck Pharmaceutical Company, get this, guys, in planning to conduct Gardasil 9 vaccine trials on postpartum mothers between the ages of 16 to 26 immediately after giving birth at the UAB hospital. This is crazy. According to the clinicaltrials.gov, the desired outcome of this study is to have more young women vaccinated with the Gardasil vaccine because they do not believe enough young women are being vaccinated. Here's what they say verbatim. Due to low HPV vaccine uptakes in the U.S., innovative approaches to vaccinating vulnerable populations are necessary in order to maximize the cancer prevention potential of this vaccine. First off, I'm not even going to go into it because I have a stack of articles here already that you guys have heard me rant over and over about, all the way from the article last year in Mexico, the research study they did that blatantly showed that the vaccine, that the Gardasil vaccine has incredibly bad side effects, including causing autoimmune diseases. Also, other articles from a doctor that worked at Merck that blatantly says the HPV vaccine does not even work, not to basically block the HPV vaccine or a virus, nor to stop the basically cancer as well. It does not work whatsoever. There's multiple aspects of this thing that are a full-blown scam. They're going on all over the world, and we're all starting to address them. And at the same time now, Merck has the audacity to collude with the University of Alabama to start vaccinating mothers right after they have a child. Previous studies on the Gardasil vaccine have shown that women who are in the hospital due to giving birth are open to receiving the Gardasil vaccine, particularly Hispanic populations. They said right after birth is a time period when women are engaged in the healthcare system and have almost universal access to affordable healthcare. Two prior studies have shown, and what, by the way, that last sentence right there, not only are they saying that basically what they're implying here is that women are most easily manipulated by the healthcare vaccines and healthcare industrial complex right after pregnancy, but also too, they're more apt to take the cost or absorb the cost of a vaccine program that's not going to be free. I promise you, they're going to eventually charge for this, and that they can basically allow the healthcare system to eat the cost of this vaccine program. I go on to say, and I quote, they go on to say here, two prior studies have shown that postpartum HPV vaccination is acceptable to patients, and high rates of vaccination were achieved in these primarily Hispanic populations. Now, Merck and the University of Alabama want to test the vaccine on 16 to 26-year-old postpartum mothers because the immune response in young women is less robust than in adolescents, and because no studies have examined immunogenicity in postpartum women specifically. They're saying here that the immune response in women after they have birth is less robust than adolescents, meaning their immune system is more compromised. And on top of that, they've never done any studies in postpartum women. They literally, guys, are saying here right in your face, the University of Alabama and Merck, they are saying that we want to use women right after they've given birth as literally test guinea pigs to one of the most, if not the most controversial, most dangerous, deadliest vaccine ever known to man, and we want to make these women take this vaccine because they're more susceptible to take the vaccine when they're in the hospital right after they take the vaccine. And oh yeah, on top of that, that they basically, no studies have been done examining postpartum women specifically with the HPV vaccine. This boggles my mind that this is even getting approved. Now, what's all crazy about this as well is that, that's what I just said a minute ago, the HPV vaccine is by far the most controversial vaccine in the world right now, with many countries withdrawing their approval and even usage of the vaccine. In France, one doctor who previously worked with Merck said that Gardasil will become the world's greatest medical scandal of all time. Negative press regarding the HPV vaccine can be found all outside the U.S. in countries like Spain, Japan, Ireland, Denmark, UK, and a host of other countries. However, thanks to the laws that protect pharmaceutical companies from being sued to damages and deaths resulting from vaccines, that's thanks to our 1986 Vaccine Protection Act that was signed into law by Reagan, almost all the controversy surrounding Gardasil has been censored in the corporate mainstream media. And this is something I want to address right now. This is what everybody has to realize with the lies that are being told to us constantly. They want to go, the mainstream media, the celebrities, all these talking heads want to go on TV and talk about how we need to ban firearms. We need to ban this. We need to remove these guns. You should not be able to buy a gun like this. Yet not once have you heard CNN even address the HPV vaccine. Not once have you even heard the mainstream media talk about the tens of thousands of adverse reactions, including paralysis and death, from the HPV vaccine in the United States. And nor have you heard anybody in the mainstream media talk about the fact that Spain, Japan, Ireland, Denmark, UK, India, and a host of other countries have removed this vaccine from the shot schedule and will not even allow it in their country anymore. And on top of that, have opened full-blown investigations into Merck for allowing this vaccine into their country. Now, what's crazy is, will these young mothers understand the potential risk for harm? Like the heart disease, the premature ovarian failure, the autoimmune disorders, more than likely what they're going to do is they're going to have these women that are basically going to be right near birth. They're going to come to them in the hospital probably a few hours before their birth when they're in labor. They're going to say, listen, we want to do a trial on you. This is how they're probably going to start it. We'll basically give you $500 check if you let us try this new vaccine that's going to protect you from cervical cancer. All it's going to be one shot right after you're born. That's it. You won't even know you got it. It'll go right in with all the other medical stuff that's going on. And a lot of the girls, they're getting them, look, from 16 to 26. So a lot of these girls are not going to be significantly financially stable. They're going to be in college probably or trying to get through college, trying to pay bills. They're going to say, hey, we'll cut you a check for $500, $1,000, whatever we need to do to make it beneficial enough to try to get their eye on it to say, okay. Then they're going to hand them a laundry list of paper that's going to probably list all the problems on it in probably either 3 or 4 font print. So you're not even going to be able to read it. The women are already going to be stressed out. They're going to say, okay, that's fine. You know, yeah, I'll get a $1,000 check afterwards. I take one shot along with all this other stuff I'm doing in the hospital. Sure, I'll sign off my consent. Bam. Now Merck is completely absolved from any responsibility. Obviously, they already are, but now there's zero. The University of Alabama will be absolved from any responsibility from the side effects that ensue in her and possibly her child if she breastfeeds after this vaccine. And now they will have a full-blown research study that they can conduct on the general population of females right after they've been given birth. This is insane to me that they're allowing this to happen. And if anybody or any of you have any connections at University of Alabama, I would like you guys to do some more research into this. I don't have any connections up there at all. This isn't, you know, Tallahassee or Florida State. If I did, I would go up there and talk to them and see why in the world they're approving this and do some more research. But I implore you guys, if you're in Alabama, do some research on this and figure out how the heck they're getting away with this. And also, too, if you can, try to wake up some of the population that's up there. Try to wake up these women like we do all the time about not giving their children the HPV vaccine. This is not something that, under any circumstances, in my opinion, should be used whatsoever. There's no validity that's ever been shown with this vaccination, even to prevent cancer or to even prevent HPV side effects as far as with STDs. None of it. It has not been shown to work, not one single time, yet it's literally shown a laundry list of side effects that are incredibly common in almost everybody that gets that shot, especially younger girls. Notice they're using 16 to 26. They're not using 30 to 50-year-old women. They're using 16 to 26-year-old women, all very young, all very fertile, all within the ability to have kids because they're about to have a child. They're also very naive as far as at the age they're at to a lot of vaccinations because most of them have not been taught or told the truth. So this is why it's our responsibility to talk to people about this. I talk to that people about that all the time. Regular vaccines are bad enough. I draw attention to those on a regular basis, and I'm very vocal about being a vaccination opponent and not vaccinating my children. However, the vaccine, the HPV vaccine, whenever that gets brought up or I have the ability to bring that up, I am incredibly vocal about it, and I have a list of different articles on my desk right now that I've made copies for that people can have when they're in the office and stuff like that, and they can read while they're here, and just to wake people up, guys, because it's that important. That is something you all have to do and be proactive about. Also, too, I got another article here on fluoridation. It looks like we may actually have a little bit of progress with getting fluoride out of the water. However, I doubt it's going to go super far because of the EPA and the collusion and the absolute strength that has been pushed on fluoride and keeping it in the water. But, however, a victory for fluoride opponents. A judge in the North District of California has denied a motion by the EPA that sought to fully dismiss a lawsuit seeking to completely ban fluoride under the Toxic Substance Control Act, which that's the ironic part about it. Fluoride is incredibly toxic. It is a toxic substance. It is known as a toxic substance. However, it still is added to the water supply as basically to help us with our teeth. Even though there's been no legitimate research that's been real that's ever been done showing fluoride helps strengthen enamel or strengthen teeth. None. The lawsuit that was brought forth by Food and Water Watch, Inc., and a coalition of health organizations and individuals concerned about fluoride, under Section 21 of the Toxic Substance Control Act, citizens are allowed to petition the EPA to regulate or ban individual chemicals. And that's the irony of this whole aspect, that fluoride is under the Toxic Substance Control Act, yet it is added to every municipal water supply. It's crazy. Food and Water Watch filed the lawsuit after the EPA rejected a citizen petition calling for the EPA to ban the addition of fluoride chemicals to the drinking water supply. As the lawsuit proceeded, the EPA interpreted the language of the law to mean the judge should be limited to reviewing the information the EPA provided when it decided to reject the petition. The disagreement is whether, in reaching its own decision, the court can consider information that the EPA did not have access to. So what's funny is, we're on to hear the court ruling, went on to say, though, that they do have it, and they basically do have to address it, and it means that the trial will now have larger implications for the legality of the water fluoridation. If the coalition of Florida opponents is successful in this lawsuit, the EPA will be forced to reconsider the petition to ban water fluoridation under the Toxic Substance Control Act. So if they actually keep pushing this thing here right now, it could go somewhere. Will it? I don't know. The EPA's got a lot of money. Luckily, they got cut funding this year from Trump, which is, that was a praise right there. The fact that the EPA already had the budget that it's had just boggles my mind. That was another debacle under King Obama, that he decided he could just decrease certain things and increase spending. The EPA does very, very little for the United States citizens and very little for pollution. It's funny because it goes both ways. They have some things that they don't even try to regulate and they allow to go on unfettered as long as the people donate or lobby large portions of money. Then they have other aspects that make no logical sense whatsoever, like mandating diesel particulate filters on all new trucks of 2018 and up, which still nobody's been able to explain to me, because they've come in now a decade ago and they said all light duty and heavy duty trucks, diesel trucks, have to have a DPF or a diesel particulate filter, and then we basically, once it starts to clog up, we spray urea into that filter and ignite it and burn off all the soot, and it still goes out the tailpipe, which is the irony of that. But however, what they didn't bother to address is they said it's going to lower, you know, the basically emissions from these diesels by X amount on specific vehicles, so it's going to help the environment. So everybody said, oh, that's a great idea. This is great. Well, basically, make sure that it puts out less emissions. Really, all it does is trick the emissions, because it clogs up a filter with diesel soot. Then it goes in and it burns it out with urea and blows out the tailpipe right back into the atmosphere after it does it. Now, the irony is this. With the DPF filters on most of all these trucks now, three-quarter ton trucks like the Duramax or the Powerstroke, they average on about 15 to 16 miles per gallon on average most of the time. You talk to anybody that has one, that's what they average with the DPF filter. Now, if you take that filter off and you put a emissions delete tune on it and basically run an economy tune that gets, you know, better fuel mileage, better timing, everything with it, you can get an upwards of 25 to 26 to 27 miles per gallon on the highway with the exact same truck just by taking off the filter. So nobody's been able to explain to me how taking a filter and causing it to basically fill up, to decrease the fuel mileage in half, but yet produce less emissions, is any more effective than reducing the amount of fuel you're consuming in the vehicle by almost double. So there's, this is something that, again, the EPA, glad you're with us now, Dad. This is something that the EPA has not been able to basically show anybody how legitimate this is whatsoever, yet they mandated, forced the manufacturers to comply at gunpoint or not be able to sell their vehicles, essentially, and at the same time cause people to now have to buy gallons and gallons of urea fluid that they have to fill up in their vehicles every couple thousand miles, which, again, has increased the cost and operational expense of these vehicles, Dad. But I'm glad you could come in with us today. How are you doing?
Well, the weather's been so messed up here from the chemtrails. I'm doing great, that the normal service that I have is completely gone. I had to drive like 10 miles into a town to find my service tonight, so I apologize for being late today. I was ready to go and trying to call Todd and trying to call you, and I'm thinking to myself, this is ridiculous. And so it's been a giant monsoon up here. We've had nothing but just rain now for 2 days, and starting yesterday, and it's been a mess. And this is exactly what happens when they spray us with all this chemtrail stuff. But I was listening to the part of the show, Austin. You're absolutely right. The diesel truck I'm in right now is averaging like 11, 12 miles per gallon. Without the DPF on, I'd be getting over 20 miles per gallon, and the engine would be running a lot cooler, a lot more efficiently. And so I'm using twice as much fuel to save a little bit of emissions. It doesn't make any sense because all of that fuel, the manufacturing of that fuel, cost money to manufacture,
yep.
And it costs environmental damage, and it puts out a big carbon footprint. So they're not really saving any fuel mileage, but what they are doing is selling a lot more diesel. They're holding the price up now because you have no choice. You have to use diesel, and they're selling a lot more DPF fluid, which allows them at that point to basically lock up the market. And, and Ford has done it right. They've given the ability of people to do this, and I'm not suggesting anybody does this, but they can do a DPF delete. It's not legal in your state, I can guarantee that, unless you're doing it for off-road purposes, and you can actually start getting decent fuel mileage again, at least off-road. But the Chevrolet doesn't even give that option to you, and they basically have forced you to buy their product again, creating another monopoly, another forced buy of the DPF fluid, which is the diesel particulate fluid that basically goes into the urea tank, and it's absolutely ridiculous. But let's talk about the top five most evil bad companies right now in America, according to this research. And this is a pretty good article, and I'm going to kind of put a few things in here also that I want to add to this. It says Monsanto is pretty much the number one worst company in the world. It's the creator of DDT, Agent Orange. Monsanto was one of the world's largest pesticide and GMO manufacturers. In fact, it is the largest. It is known for being the first company to genetically modify a seed to make it resistant to pesticides and herbicides. I'm going to add this one more thing. It is known to be the first pesticide put into a seed, making that seed a pesticide. Monsanto herbicides have been blamed for killing millions of crop acres, while its chemicals were added to the blacklist of products causing cancer and many other health problems, as we've seen with glyphosate linked to so many different types of cancer. Number two is Apple. Apple Computer, once the darling of Microsoft gadget lovers, Apple more recently has been accused of mistreating, they're underpaying their employees with their suicide nets over in China, hiding money offshore, not paying taxes. It's also been accused of violating health and environmental legislation and misusing its positions when they have a monopoly in the market. And oh yes, deliberately slowing older iPhones and overcharging for its products to boot on top of all that. Plus, I've got Apple products. They require constant update now. It's ridiculous what's happened with Apple since what's-his-face died. Don't get me wrong. I wasn't a fan of Steve Jobs, but this thing with Apple has gotten ridiculous. Nestle, number three, the world's largest food and beverage company. It controls a huge percentage of all the food that you buy. It has committed to enhancing quality of life, it says, and contributing to a healthier future. However, it's been dragged through numerous scandals involving slave labor. The multinational is one of the most boycotted corporations in the world, as violations of labor rights have been reported at its factories in different countries. Philip Morris, the American multinational cigarette manufacturer and tobacco company, is number three, are sold in over 180 countries outside of the United States. Philip Morris owns Marlboro, one of the biggest brands. Back in 1999, Philip Morris courted officials of the Czech Republic by explaining how smoking would, in fact, help their economy due to the reduced health care costs from its citizens dying early. I'm going to repeat that. It told the people over in, this is crazy, in Czechoslovakia that their people would die a lot quicker, and that way they would have to pay health care costs on these people if they let them start smoking and promoting cigarettes. McDonald's, the American fast food company, was founded in 1940. The company serves more customers each day than the entire population of Great Britain, but it has a long history of terrible labor practices. It's been constantly under fire for serving unhealthy, bad food and pink slime, which contributes to health problems. And researchers have found that McDonald's burgers have a difficult time decomposing on their own. Then, of course, notable mentions are, and I would have put this one on the top, Goldman Sachs, I'd have put it number one. J.P. Morgan Chase, I'd probably put that number two. Exxon Mobil, these are the horses of the apocalypse. Halliburton, Dow Chemical, DuPont, Bayer, which now owns Monsanto, Microsoft, Google, Facebook, Amazon, and Walmart. These are the companies, these are the corporations that have caused so many problems that we've had internationally, Austin. And it's really, really sad that so many people still support these companies on a regular basis. I always try to buy local if I possibly can and avoid doing business with any of these guys. And we've already seen what's happened now with YouTube, which is also owned by Google, which is owned by the CIA and controlled by the CIA. And so we know now that YouTube has gotten so bad that you can't even monetize on it any longer because they simply aren't going to allow alternative news to go out. So these are the key companies that we've talked about over and over again. I want to kind of put them into a list today, let you guys know these are the ones that you really need to avoid. What do you think?
Absolutely, man. I mean, that's a very accurate list on there. And that's why I told you guys, you know, that's what I've been saying this week, last week, for some time now. We all have to stop supporting a lot of these companies that are going to engage in this type of behavior, because it's not something that's going to be conducive to the betterment of our country, to our constitutional rights, to our safety, to our health, none of that. And everybody has to start standing up to what they believe and making sure you back what you believe and not just capitulating because it's more convenient or it's easier. Also, too, I thought this was pretty strange. They're almost telling us what they're getting ready to do now. A article that was just posted on Daily Mail UK today. And this is the title of it. It's from a doctor. It says, "Why I believe a killer flu pandemic is lurking just around the corner and could kill 33 million people in the first 200 days. Now, first off, this is a fear-mongering article. I want to address that right now. I want to tell you guys exactly what it is. However, this is something that they're actually starting to push because, in my opinion, they're trying to tell us what they're getting ready to do. Anyways, it says on here that Dr. Jonas Quick is the chair of the Global Health Council. He's the one who wrote this article, and he said a global virus pandemic that could kill 33 million victims in its first 200 days is looming. Within the assuming 2 years, more than 300 million people could perish worldwide. Of course, then he goes on to say, as a doctor, I know that nothing can protect people against illness as effectively as a vaccine. It's the single most cost-effective public health tool we have, and we need to invest far more in producing a universal vaccine and also ensuring that our societies are geared to protect ourselves against the inevitable next impact. So what they're doing now is they're taking the fear tapering down off this last flu issue that we're just starting to really get over now. And they're releasing an article now why it's still fresh in everybody's mind to remind them on how deadly the next flu vaccine or the flu pandemic is going to be and how we all need to be ready to take any vaccine that the government or the CDC tells us to because it's essentially going to protect us from this. This is what the lies are all about in the mainstream media. It's propaganda and rhetoric at its finest to try to make everybody capitulate and buy into what's going on. Are they going to release some biological flu? They very well may. I don't doubt it at all with a lot of stuff they've been brewing up. In my opinion, I think a lot of this garbage they've been doing for some time now has all been about trying to come in and beta test these different flu versions and see how effective they are. And the fact that he's coming out and saying this now is almost, to me, one of those indirect ways that the Kabbalists love to do it and telling us what they're about to do, but not actually saying it, just implying it. And then everybody that figures it out either figures it out or they don't, Dad.
Well, no, you're absolutely right, Austin. I mean, the flu pandemic, and it, you know, it killed over 50 million people back in the 1918, 1919, 1920. And one of the key ways to avoid that is not eat pork. You think, well, yep. No, it really isn't that really, because the pork lowers the body's immune system so much. This morning I was talking to a couple of guys out here who go to church here locally with us, and I was talking about how bad eating pork was and how the people up in this area, you know, the South, they don't really think about that. And in fact, they don't really think about that in a lot of parts of the United States. I mean, you know, bacon, turkey bacon, not turkey bacon is okay as long as it doesn't have sodium nitrite in it, but pork bacon and pork roast are a staple along with barbecue ribs, baby back ribs, and they make you believe that these are things that you can't live without. They call it the other white meat. I call it the other toxic meat, and things that really, really needs to basically be completely be taken out of our diet and not be put into our body in any amounts. By the way, researchers are also tying, let me stop for 1 second. Our healthy immune system protocol on the website, it's something that every single person needs to take every single day. I take it every single day. It's the potassium iodine, the D3K2. Now, once your D3 levels come up, you can probably take that every other day because it's 10,000 IUs. And also the vitamin C, the astragalus, all these things that are included in that protocol are essential for your body's immune system to stay strong all the time. Now, you guys haven't heard me get a cold in a long, long time because I'm really, really careful with my immune system. I wash my hands a lot. I use that nasal swab in my nose with the colloidal silver 500 that we have. And I realized a long, long time ago, if you just take really good personal hygiene with the colloidal silver, with your nose, et cetera, and what you touch, and you take your supplements, you don't get these different types of things. But no, Austin, you're right. They're trying to tell us in advance what they're going to do, because remember, they're not going to blow up a 5G network. So don't believe this war, don't believe this nuclear war stuff. That's all just fear porn. That's fear propaganda to keep you in a really low negative state. Now, if they tell you that they're going to drop a doggone flu bomb on you and that everybody's going to get the flu, they could do that. They've got the technology to go out there from an aerosol spray standpoint and start giving huge swaths of the population this stuff and have it travel all over the country. If it has a 4 or 5 day incubation period, they could actually spray all the areas where the major airports are, where people are traveling. People transfer this stuff and spread it globally. They have that technology to do that. And then they would have like a 4 or 5 day latent period where nobody would get sick, but they'd be carrying the disease that would travel all over the world, and wherever they would go, they would basically transmit this stuff, and they could literally have a 50, 60, 70% population drop down on the entire planet within 2 or 3 months. It would be like the bubonic plague all over again. This is what they probably are going to do. I'm just letting you guys know that in advance, because they're going to reduce the population. The problem is we're not dying fast enough. We're not getting autism fast enough. We're not getting sick fast enough. We're not becoming brain dead fast enough. We're not becoming debilitated fast enough. We're not doing this quickly enough for their goals. That's the problem. They want us down to 500 million people, according to the Georgia Guidestones, the Christian guy who supposedly put that up there. It's funny to use that name, of course. And this is the whole thing that we need to understand, is they're, again, like Austin said, this is that lesser magic, the white magic, they call it, with these 17 Kabbalists. Remember, these guys are wizards. That's what they are. And they got to tell you in advance what they're going to do to you, and then you've got to make a decision whether you're going to say okay or nay. And I just say nay. I'm not going to tolerate it. I'm not going to put up with it. Because remember, it's all about the population control and stopping the 100 million people a year that are growing all over the planet in third world countries, which is increasing the population. The thing that's crazy to me, Austin, is this. And I'm not picking on any third world country. I'm not going to do that. But here's the deal. If the third world countries are the ones that are having this massive population growth of 100 million people a year, which is causing the earth to basically overpopulate, if that's the case, which is true, why are they picking on the United States, which has had a neutral population growth except for immigration for the past 30 or 40 years, or Europe, which has a negative population growth? You know, it seems to me as if they want to start killing people, they should be soaking everybody down in chemtrails, you know, in the Horn of Africa, in India and China, or all these places that have an unbridled population growth. China's pretty much got theirs under control now, too. But India and all these parts of Africa say, well, are you speaking that you should do eugenics in Africa? So I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is this. Why are they not focusing on third world countries instead of on countries that already have neutral population growth? Why? Here's why. The third world countries are easy to control. They can kill them off anytime they want. That's easy. The problem is in the United States, because of our Second Amendment, because we're armed, because we're smart, because we've got the internet, because we've got the new Gutenberg press at our disposal, they want to come in now and debilitate us first. That's the whole key. And they want to cause multiculturalization of our economy and our country so they can destroy the Protestant work ethic. That's what they want to do. They want to turn it back into a feudal-based system, and a certain amount of them are going to service them, and the rest of us are going to be expendable. So they have to do it in stages. And what they have to do right now is they have to keep everybody in America from waking up, which we are doing. That's why they're censoring YouTube like they are. They want to keep everybody in America from waking up to prevent us from saying, hey, we don't want you guys in power anymore. We're going to throw out this international banking cartel. We're going to get rid of all these nutbags, and we're going to make a decision on how to fix this on our own rather than having you guys turn us into a bunch of slaves. That's why they don't do that to the third world countries, because they've got to get the educated populace that's got internet and all of these folks that are willing to do what they need to do as far as talk about this stuff. They've got to get us all shut up, and that's their goal, Austin.
No, you're exactly right. That's exactly what it is. We've grown too fast as far as our ability to transfer information. Because the internet's been a double-edged sword for the globalists, there's certain aspects of it they love, but there's also aspects of it that they hate. So what they did now is they tried to set up platforms to get people connected and essentially addicted to the information on these platforms and the ease of the information, so forth, like YouTube and stuff like that. YouTube, when it first came out, was revolutionary. I mean, something that basically anybody could become a star on, anybody that could post something and get the news out there, regardless if it was accurate or not, regardless of what anybody thought about it. it was the First Amendment tool of everybody in the world, because we had the ability to post stuff that we believed was accurate, that we wanted to review, that we wanted to show the world, and it was incredible. And they knew that, and so they allowed it to grow at the rate that it was. The problem is, I don't think they expected it to get to this level this fast, and that's why I told you guys yesterday, that's why they were so adamant after the election to make sure that they labeled everything fake news that they didn't agree with, because they had to start fixing the narrative in their favor to be able to say, no, that's fake news. Oh, no, this David Hogg kid, is him moving from California last year, him being basically essentially acting like a crisis actor, regardless of where he's from or what he does, him pushing the Second Amendment narrative, the anti-Second Amendment narrative, no, that's fake news. Completely fake. Shut it down. We're pulling your YouTube channel now. And like I said, they've done it with everybody. They're shutting down InfoWars. They pulled Mike Adams. They pulled us. They pulled Hodges. They pulled Hagman. They're doing it with all of us now. And I knew it last year when they put those new terms and conditions out about what they could and couldn't do and what they were and were not going to tolerate. I knew that it was going to be a very, very significant issue for us as well. Also, too, in other news with DARPA, since I feel like every week I keep finding new articles about the Pentagon's AI branch, basically, is what they are with DARPA. This is a very interesting one now. Now they are trying to look for ways to slow biological time to improve soldiers' chances of survival on the battlefield. You'll find this one interesting, Dad. The Pentagon, via DARPA, is hoping to tap into the incredible survival techniques of some of nature's hardest creatures to slow biological time on the battlefield. This is what they're saying, at least. DARPA's new program, dubbed Biostasis, is aimed to develop ways to buy extra time for wounded soldiers between the moment of injury and first medical treatment. With the biostasis program, DARPA hopes to slow down biological processes in living cells to prolong the amount of time it takes before a system collapses. In nature, some organisms are able to use proteins to control cellular functions in a way that allows this. Tardigrades, for example, can induce a state known as cryptobiosis to survive extreme environmental conditions, from freezing or near total hydration to extreme radiation. While it may appear that their metabolic process has stopped, the creature still lives. They go on to say, now DARPA says, our goal with biostasis is to control these molecular machines and get them to slow their roll at about the same rate so we can slow down the entire system gracefully and avoid adverse consequences when the intervention is reversed or wears off on our soldiers. The program is seeking for ways to slow down this process. They said they could use either antibodies or treatments for whole cells and tissues. Eventually, according to DARPA, the plan is to scale up the entire organism. They said to be successful, the method must be able to slow down all measurable biological functions without causing too much damage to the system when it returns to normal. So this is something that's really strange here. They said it's in the early stages right now, but they plan on carrying out the research over the next 5 years. This, again, in my opinion, is starting to reach the way of trying to create the ultimate super soldier, Nephilim basis, essentially, is what I'm feeling here. This Genesis chapter 6 all over again, trying to create this super soldier breed that they're going to be able to use at their just basically disposal, Dad.
Well, also think through it this way. These people are trying their best to integrate us with machines. They want to put these little nanobots and little nanocomputers in us and smart dust in us that's going to be able to control cellular function. That's what they're talking about. They're talking about coming in, controlling biological functions, heart rate, breathing, cellular, basically respiration, you know, mitochondria usage, all of this stuff. And yes, this is how advanced it is now. I've told this on the Hagman Show, and I'll say it on this show. We are literally dealing in the United States, on this planet, with a breakaway civilization of humans that are hundreds, if not thousands of years advanced technologically than we are given as far as the general population. We have this technology is so advanced, it's unbelievable what they can do. I mean, think about it for a second, guys. You know, you hold a telephone in your hand that can go to the internet, which gives you unlimited information. You can go to, you can basically use it as a computer. You can use it as a telephone. You can use it as a doggone two-way camera and talk to people around the world with it on Skype. I mean, you have all of these abilities in your hand. If I had told you back in 1960 that we're going to have that kind of technology, or 1970 and that kind of technology. Remember, cell phones didn't really even get started until the late 80s. not even, there weren't any cell phones, you know, really 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And 40 years ago. They didn't exist. You know, this is what people don't understand, how fast they've allowed this technological force to come into being. They've done it because they had to do something to bring us up to the levels where we need to be, but they're so far beyond that. I've told you this, and I know this is a fact. They already had electromagnetic anti-gravity technology developed in the 1930s. A German scientist had done this back in the 30s, and they had that ability with the ships they were building and creating. The problem is the Nazis would have had that technology. They would have won World War II, but they did not have the ability to get it applied more quickly, nor do they have the power or the manpower or the brain power to do it as far as the technology and or the money left after towards the end of the war. That's why they were always talking about the super weapons, because they have the ability to do all of this stuff. The problem is they don't want us to know about it. That's what it all boils down to, Austin. They want to gradually put it into our system, because if we knew that we were about to get ourselves locked into a Borg hive mind with an artificial intelligence, everybody would completely and totally flip out and put a big stop to it. And that's what they're trying to keep us from doing, is finding out what's happening. By the way, Polish official, this is great. I love this. This is crazy. Germany may owe Poland $850 billion for World War II war crimes. I mean, again, this is from the Times of Israel, because now what Israel is doing is they're basically shifting, because Poland has said that they don't want to be caught up in the Holocaust controversy, what happened in Poland, and they don't want to be blamed for what happened with Poland's involvement, and they basically came against Israel against this a few weeks ago. This is from Warsaw, Poland. A Polish official said Friday that Germany could owe his country $850 billion for the damage it inflicted during World War II. Moliski, a leading team in the parliament that is assessing potential reparations to Poland. I mean, this is 70 years ago. Germany killed Polish citizens and caused great material losses during the six-year occupation of Poland. Again, what's never mentioned here is that Germany and Russia attacked Poland simultaneously. Germany took back the land that was stolen from Germany because of the Versailles Treaty. Russia had the bulk of Poland controlled during World War II, not Germany. Newsflash for everyone. And what's crazy about all of this is that Russia and Germany attacked Poland simultaneously. Poland had a treaty, basically a war treaty with Great Britain and with France. They were allies. And after Germany and Russia attacked Poland, France and England both declared war on Germany and completely ignored Russia. Now, this guy's not even talking about what Russia should pay Poland. I mean, this is a mess. This is a mess, all because of what happened in World War II with the Versailles Treaty. And, you know, just like this morning, I was talking to the same Christian guys I was talking to earlier, and I said, did you know that when Germany invaded France, they had a treaty with France? And they basically actually conscripted, and a lot of the soldiers from the French army actually volunteered to fight for the Wehrmacht, for the Third Reich, and they were German. They were French soldiers in German uniforms with a French insignia on their shoulder. Basically, they were from the French army, and they voluntarily did this, and many of them died on the Western Front. But, of course, our media, our news people won't tell you any of that because it's not politically correct to talk about that. So it's just a real mess to me when I see this kind of stuff. And so if France was also involved with Germany, if French soldiers fought with German soldiers, why in the world isn't Poland suing France now, too, for war crimes? What an absolute mess, Austin. I tell you what, this thing with World War II has gone on and on and on, and they constantly try to put the blame of this entire thing on Germany, and everybody needs to read the book that I promoted last month, The Bad War, and it pretty much says the exact same thing. My mom, who was there, firsthand witness in Germany during World War II, born in 1916, left Germany in 1952, it's almost exactly what she told me and my grandfather, who was there, who was raised entirely in Germany and came over and visited us on a regular basis, you know, after 1952. They're almost exactly verbatim the same stories they told me about the war and what was going on over in Germany and in Europe. It was all about fighting communism. And guys, you've got to educate yourself, because the same group of Sabbatean Frankists who did the doggone war in Russia, who killed the doggone czar and his family, are the same group of people that right now are running the world through the world monetary system. So you've got to pay attention to what's going on in all of this obfuscation that's happening all over Europe and all over the world right now, Austin.
That's exactly right. And what you've seen now is a small portion, not small, not a lot of them, but a small portion of the Jews over there have now used the Holocaust and World War II as the ultimate victim status to take away from all the other truth that surrounded World War II, including the communism, including the tyranny, including everything that enveloped with that, to focus World War II. The only thing they ever talk about anymore in World War II was the Holocaust and concentration camps. They yet to ever discuss how there were a plethora of other people besides Jews in concentration camps, including their own German population. There were any type of political dissident, they immediately went to a concentration camp. None of that gets brought up. They just want to sit there and bring up now, 70, 80 years later, oh, we want reparations from Poland now. No, again, it's pushing the victim status. So that way they can keep the eyes off what really happened with World War II, and they can always focus on, we were the victims of World War II. You owe us. We need more money. We need more weapons. We need more AI. We need more support. We need more military. We were the victims. It's nauseating to me. I mean, it's like when you start having, and this is a rarity now. I haven't seen it as much as it used to be. But you see, when you talk to some people that are basically black, and they basically will blatantly tell you, well, no, whites owe me reparations because my great-great-great-great-grandfather was a slave in the Civil War. And I'm going, what do I owe you anything, man? We're both human beings. We're both created in the image of God. And I wasn't even here. I was in Germany somewhere in 1850. I wasn't even in the United States. Like, I was floating around over there. I had nothing to do with this in the Civil War. What do I owe you money for? But again, that's just the lie that the media has tried to push on a lot of the population, again, to claim that victim status. And that's something that everybody has to be very, very careful of not to fall into, whether it's something with that, whether it's something with World War II, whether it's something with basically the pharmaceutical industry with some type of disease that they've labeled you with. You have to constantly stay a fighter. You have to take responsibility and push as hard as you can to do what you need to do to take yourself in the direction. If something's going wrong and something's not working right, you can't always blame it and defer the blame on the somebody else because, well, this happened in some time, or the doctor told me I have this disease, or this happened to my great-great-grandfather 180 years ago, or this happened to my great-grandfather in World War II. We're past that now. We're not in the 1850s. We're not in the 1940s anymore. That time is now past. It's our life, our generation, our future to push forward, and it's our responsibility to do so instead of living there pretending like everybody needs to feel sorry for us because we had this happen to our generations years ago and using that as an excuse to allow our behavior to be not correct or not to go in the direction that we want it to go, Dad. But the fact that they're trying to do this to Poland now is honestly boggles my mind, but sadly, it doesn't surprise me.
And by the way, senators are now challenging the war powers in hopes of extracting the United States from Saudi war against Yemen. A lot of you don't realize that we're actually in a war with Yemen. U.S. a partisan effort by four senators, Michael out of Utah, Rand Paul, Bernie Sanders, no less, and Chris Murphy, are looking to end U.S. military's involvement in the Saudi-led war in Yemen. They have introduced the first-ever war powers vote to come out of the Senate. The bill is based on the fact that Congress has never authorized the military use of force in Yemen. The U.S. has participated in the Saudi invasion of Yemen since it began in 2015, with U.S. tanker planes performing mid-air refueling missions for Saudi bombers and U.S. warships participating in a naval blockade that is causing mass starvation in Yemen. I mean, guys, this stuff goes on and on and on because of the military-industrial complex and our conquest mentality, because we're being completely and totally controlled by the international banking communities through the Federal Reserve System. Austin, what do you think?
You're exactly right. This is what they've continued to do with the lies and the lies, and that's what we started the show. That's why we do this show every day, because we try to bring you guys the unfiltered truth of what's really going on, the rough side to it, the real stuff that's going on behind the scenes, and exposing a lot of this garbage and all these lies for what they really are. That's why we continue to do this day in and day out for you guys. I mean, it doesn't, me and Dad, you know, we enjoy doing this to some extent, but we are already know a lot of this stuff. We research it all the time. But what good is that knowledge to us if we don't try to give it to other people and help other people and wake other people up and make a difference and spark change in this country and make sure that everybody at least has the knowledge to make the correct decision instead of being so manipulated and controlled by the mainstream media that they think that is the only route and the only direction they can go. That's why we try to give you guys the best nutritional information we can. Here at Health Masters, that's what I said. If you guys got a question, give us a call, 1-800-726-1834, or check out the website of Health Masters. We're always trying to help people the best we possibly can, whether it's supplements, whether it's diet, whether it's overall knowledge as far as the truth of what's really going on right now and pushing through the mainstream lies, Deb.
I agree with you, Austin. Guys, thank you so much. I'm sorry I was late today. Internet services yuck up here today. Guys, thanks for getting your supplements from Health Masters. Thanks for enjoying the show. I hope you enjoyed the show. Thanks for supporting us. I had the privilege and the honor of praying for you again this morning. So you guys are the best. And I tell you what, our listeners pray for us. And I tell you guys, if it wasn't for you supporting us through Health Masters and praying for us, we wouldn't be able to do this. We need your protection. I love you guys. Thanks again. I appreciate you, Austin. You'll be your write-up today, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. God bless.
Absolutely, man. We appreciate all of it, guys. There's definitely, it feels good to have a support team, a support family, knowing that you guys are there to basically have our back, and the emails that I get from a lot of you guys as far as the support you've given us, I really do appreciate it. I'm trying to get caught up on all the emails. We've been so busy. I've been getting so many questions in and supplement questions in. And if there's something that you guys email me that I haven't responded back to yet, and it's something important or you're trying to know as soon as possible, please feel free to give us a call 9 to 5 Monday through Friday Eastern Standard Time at our phone number, the 1-800-726-1834. You know, we keep staff here all the time. The phone lines, you know, they do get busy, but we always answer them. We always make sure we take care of all the customers the best of our ability. And that way, if you have something that's pertinent, it's easier and faster to get through to via phone call. The emails, I get so many of them every day, and I try to respond to every single one of them, but after a while I do get backed up and I do miss some of them, just to be honest with you, because we have a family business here. We don't have 20-30 people working here. That's why we keep our overhead low. That's why we can provide you some of the best, highest quality supplements with the best raw materials at still decent affordable prices and still run specials like we do and be able to keep the doors open and the lights on. And that's why I told you guys yesterday we had a special for Doug on Friday that we didn't get to air because the show, because the weather over there where he lives at. But I want everybody to be able to try the Ultimate Multiple Powder. That's an incredibly good formula, and it's really good to be able to throw in protein shakes or smoothies. And if it's something where you don't like taking capsules or kids, Hunter drinks this stuff all the time and protein shakes that I make for him. But we have the Doug 30, D-O-U-G 30 coupon, which will give you 30% off the Ultimate Multiple Powder, which is pretty much selling it right above our cost for you guys. And I wanted to do that because I want everybody to be able to try this stuff out. The coupon's good basically until the beginning of next week, so I want to make sure everybody has the ability to try it on the website, healthmasters.com. Be sure to check out the product of the week as well, the beet juice powder. It's on sale for one more day today, so if you guys need anything, feel free to call us. I appreciate everything. You have a wonderful, blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.